City. It's your man, Big Pat, the voice of your Charlotte Hornets, and you're listening to the All Hornets Podcast Network, presented by Sports Illustrated.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Hornets on Heartbreak Podcast. My name is Mark Bernanke and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. So, Tim, the Hornets, still not good. Still not good. We lost five games in a row, lost to the Cavs on Monday. Playing them again tonight. We're recording on Wednesday night. And, you know, Anthony Edwards has been going off recently. And it's really, really been a sad time for me just hearing all this buzz around Anthony Edwards. Like, is he the NBA face of the NBA, the American face of the NBA moving forward? Because I remember a time, Tim, 2020, I believe, when we had a segment called F Your Rookie, which we disparaged Anthony Edwards, and we believed that LaMelo Ball was the better rookie, and we believed that LaMelo Ball was the better second-year player. He was the better second-year player. That was just 2 years ago, Tim. And where are we today with that argument?
It's not looking great. That looked great. It's been a long 2 years. You know, it's funny. Like, you know, the Timberwolves kind of had a disaster season last year, and they still made the playoffs. And I was like, man, it's pretty bad when you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you're like, man, I would love to be them. Like, I'd kill for their bad season. Yeah, LaMelo's played, like, 53 games over the last 2 years. He's been doubtful since January. I don't know why they don't just give that one up. But, it's been pretty frustrating. It's honestly, it hasn't been frustrating. It just sucks. Like, it's not even frustrating. It just, like, flat out sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the buzz around him, I mean, it's time to admit it. Currently, he is the better player. Currently, Tyrese Haliburton is the better player. And then there are some other names that get a little bit more questionable. Do you think Tyrese Maxey better?
Nah, hell no, bro. I honestly have no love for Tyrese Maxey's game. I see the stats. I see the highlights. I just don't care. Something about him just reminds me of, like, when you're my player is good. And it's like, yeah, the numbers are really good. But I don't know, man. His game just really does nothing for me. There is a chance that he is the better player. I just don't care. He will never be better in my eyes.
But can he do it in the postseason on Hall of Fame in a best of seven series? On Hall of Fame mode. Exactly. Yeah.
Is he getting...
Okay. You have some more stats to read about the Hornets' failures over the past 10 games or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to look back, last 40 games, we scored under 100 20 times. Mark, you're the math guy. That's not good.
Nope. Check the facts. Yeah, it's not good.
It is it's certifiably not good. Since the last 15 games, we are dead last in offensive rating. We are scoring 105.1 points per 100 possessions. Second worst over that time period is the Portland Trailblazers, who are a full 2 points better than we are. Not great. And the Detroit Pistons are 4 points better than we are. They are 1-14 in that stretch. We are 6-9.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, in what, the past five games, we haven't hit 100 once? It used to be like a promotion. Like you reach 100 points, you get free something. At the Hornets Stadium, it was like you get free water if you score 100 points. And now NBA stadiums don't do that anymore because teams score 100 every night. But it would be a solid promotion for this team. They need to bring that back.
Yeah. No, we've talked about the great gold rush that was Papa John's, just being late to the scoring boom, and like you get half off every time they scored over 90 points. Right as the league just exploded, so that was sick. But we're back in those halcyon days. It's really just a massive bummer. And you know, now with legalized gambling in North Carolina, I work with a bunch of gambling addicts, and every day they're like, man, so what are you thinking? You know, the line's 11.5, and I was like, just take it. We are not going to cover. They're like, man, 11.5, that's kind of crazy. I was like, man, we cannot score 100 points in a game. Like, just do it. And so far, so good.
Oh, man, I remember it like it was yesterday. And it almost was yesterday, a month ago, when I made a lot of money gambling on the Hornets. I got out pretty quickly. As soon as we got blown out by the Bucks, I stopped betting on the Hornets. And it was a good time to do that. But those 3 or 4 games where I did bet on them, it was magical, Tim. It was magical. Okay. What?
But it was a great ride.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do today, since there's really nothing to talk about Hornets related, if you are still watching Hornets games, like, text us, DM us on Instagram. Tell us why you're still watching. I'm very curious why normal people do this to themselves. But we're going to do a game of Would You Rather. We're going to look forward. We're going to look forward to the future. We're going to try to be a little bit positive, because I think there is reason to be, like, you know, just a little positive about this team over the next 5 years. Not this year, probably not next year, but maybe the next year. And we're going to do a game of Would You Rather Be This Team or the Hornets. We're going to start out, Tim, with the team that I think is the most depressing in the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets. Would you rather be the Nets or the Hornets?
Really makes me feel good. I would definitely rather be the Hornets.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, the Nets, they have Mikal Bridges, who was pretty good at the end of the season last year, got pretty hot. There was a lot of hype around him. This year, he has taken a step back from that hot shooting streak. And outside of that, they don't have a whole lot. They don't have a whole lot. And they don't have their draft picks. Next year, I don't think they have like any draft picks. Let me pull up the details. Yeah. So they have no draft picks this year. 2025, they get the first round pick from Phoenix, which is not going to be a very good pick. 2026, they have no first round draft picks. 2027, they get Phillies and Phoenixes. So basically the next three drafts, they have one first round draft pick, which is not going to be a very good pick. It's from Phoenix. And they're horrible. They're not good at basketball this year. They're a middling-ish team, but not really. They're on the bottom side of middling. And things are just not going to get better, because for the next 3 years, they're not acquiring any talent through the draft. And no free agents, I think, are going to want to go play in Brooklyn ever, except Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden did it once, but I don't think that's really going to be a thing for them again. Just not a good future outlook for them.
So would you rather have the last, starting at like the KG Paul Pierce trade, because this is now the second time in like a decade they've just been out picks for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. Would you rather be a Nets fan over the last 10 years or a Hornets Bobcats fan?
A Nets fan.
Think so as well. I mean, other than having to like talk yourself into Spencer Dinwiddie, I think it'd be pretty cool. Even, you know, that would be really painful for sure to be that close, just stomping the Bucks and then poof, it's all gone. But yeah, I think I would take it. But yeah, over the next 5 years, Nick Claxton's also really fallen off. He was a guy that like every nerd loved to talk about. And I haven't really heard much Nick Claxton buzz this year. Pretty depressing. They got rid of Jacques Vaughn, but yeah, pretty rudderless franchise. Move him back to New Jersey.
Yeah. I like that idea. And I mean, I say Brooklyn just because I mean, you have the excitement of that team. At least you can buy into it. You also have, I mean, what, they're one like seven seed year with D'Angelo Russell. That's like at least as exciting as our non-playoff appearance, you know? Like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think they just beat us.
Yeah, and remember Jared Dudley got in Ben Simmons' head?
Yep, I remember that. I mean, dude, who can forget it? Who can forget it? Okay. I mean, the way we're going to do this is, like, you can – if we want to talk about the Hornets a little bit here, like, just compare the young players and, like, the assets on the team. Who could be, like, an actual number one on a team? Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball, the answer is, like, maybe, right? For both of them, I think LaMelo has shown higher performance but gets hurt all the time and has never been on a winning team, so probably not number one. But Brandon Miller – has shown great play throughout the season. Looks like he could be at least a number two on a good team. Meanwhile, the Nets have literally Mikal Bridges, and that's it.
Yeah, and I know you're not a Panthers fan, but kind of getting a little Brian Burns feeling as well. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. We turned down two first round picks for Brian Burns, and then a year later ended up trading him for, you know, like a second and a fifth. Kind of feeling that way with Mikal Bridges. I think if I was a Nets fan, I'd be like, I really wish I had four first round picks right now.
Yeah. Yep. And they're a weird franchise because they're like in this in between where like, are they small market or are they big market? like they like get all these free agents and they're like, oh, we're back to being like nobody cares about us at all. Like it's weird.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I know like, you know, not exactly, you know, punching down or anything. We're Hornets fans, but I've literally never met a single Nets fan in my entire life.
Yeah, me neither. I imagine that if you go to Brooklyn, you'll run into a few of them, but yeah, me neither. Not
I think
in the
you'll probably, yeah, there will probably be more like fans of like Parquet Courts, the bands, than there are like Nets fans or like Hotline TNT.
Yeah. Okay. Next team on the list, Toronto. We are going up to Canada for this next one. Tim, would you rather be Toronto or the Hornets for the next 5 years?
I would rather be the Hornets, but I think, you know, if I was a Raptors fan, I would rather be, you know, the Raptors. I think it's pretty close. It comes down to like how high you are on Scottie Barnes and, Scottie Barnes doesn't really move me.
Yeah. And RJ Barrett as well. I think that RJ Barrett's been in the league longer than both LaMelo and Brandon Miller, like both of them combined. And the fact that he is like kind of settling into this role of like a 18 points per game scorer, I think you kind of know that he's not going to be great. And I think the same is true for Scottie Barnes. So, I mean, let me give an answer. I'd rather be the Hornets as well. I think the potential of LaMelo, the potential of Brandon Miller is higher than both those two players. And that's basically my answer. With that being said, like I could see the Raptors winning more games than the Hornets over the next 5 years for sure.
Yeah, 100%. They also, I guess we should factor in, they do have Masai is a GM, even though maybe he's been a little overrated lately, but still a pretty good track record. And I have to say, RJ Barrett's one of those dudes that, like, I know he's always going to be, like, in trade talks because, like, he's a little disappointing. But just as far as, like, aesthetically pleasing games go, really enjoy watching RJ Barrett. Like, I wouldn't want him on my team necessarily. And I feel like he does play very well against the Hornets for whatever reason. But, yeah, I don't know. I just – something about him, I find him, like, charming. Like, not to, like, you know, pander. But it's like, yeah, it's kind of quaint. It's like, oh, RJ Barrett, you went, you know, 8 of 15. like, you're really slow and you dribble with your left hand. I don't know. Something about him, I find appealing. But yeah, otherwise, not a huge Raptors fan. They also owe their pick this year to San Antonio if it's top eight, I think.
Okay, top eight protected. Yeah,
hurdle trade. Yep. So that's one blemish. But yeah, I'd say it's a toss-up. But, you know, we're a Hornets podcast. I'll go Hornets.
Let's go Hornets, baby. All right. Next team on the list. I don't think I'm going to be quite as optimistic about this one. Atlanta Hawks. We tried to include, like, all teams that suck this year pretty much. Did not include the San Antonio Spurs for obvious reasons. But, yeah, the Hawks, you know, they have a losing record. They are kind of perpetually stuck in this middle of the NBA kind of zone where they're in the play-in game year after year. They beat us in the play-in game 3 years ago. But I think Trae Young is just affirmatively better than LaMelo Ball or Brandon Miller and has shown all-star potential more consistently than either of those two players. Jalen Johnson is a stud. You said it earlier, Tim. I'll give you credit. He's what Miles Bridges was like 2 years ago, except without all the off-the-court issues. And he's bigger. He's just taller. Yeah, they have to ride with Atlanta on this one. They also have DeJounte Murray, who is not fitting in particularly well with Trae Young, but they could still trade him and get something out of that. So I think I'd have to ride with Atlanta on this one, as much as it pains me to pick our big rival team, Tim. Massive rivalry.
I know, but now we're kind of becoming, you know, Northern Hawks with, you know, Hawks ownership. We're bringing in people from there. I think they had a pretty ugly falling out, but if the new pseudo Hawks now Hornets owners, if they want to bring in Bud, who used to coach in Atlanta, I'd be very down for that. But I think they butted heads pretty bad, and that's why he left. But we got the rest of Atlanta. Yeah, you know, big Trae Young guy to this day. Yeah, I just feel like they're just, you know, 10% better than us. Maybe like 15%, just kind of across the board. You know, like, Angu is very good. You know, they missed with DeAndre Hunter, but, I mean, we got James Booknight, so, you know, we have our own misses. Yeah, I'd say the Hawks are slightly better. Like, you talk about, oh, they're kind of middling. I'd like to be middling. I would like to be in the play-in again. That sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking about for the next 5 years. I guess it's, like, quantified as who's going to have more wins over the next 5 years, Atlanta or Charlotte. And I just think that I could see a world where, like, Trae Young gets traded and they're the worst team in the league in a couple of years. But I could also see a world where, like, this team improves and they win 49 games or something like that next season. So, yeah, I think I'd have to take them on more wins than the Hornets over the next 5 years. Not to say that, like, I don't know, like, which team is more likely to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals in 5 years?
Well, I mean, they've won a playoff series and they've been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kind of like their odds. Granted, that's a very different team in a different league. But yeah, I mean, all things considered, it's the Hawks.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I agree with you. I just wanted to present the other case. Trailblazers. This one for me is a resounding Hornets. You know, mostly because of the way that this year's draft shook out. We got Brandon Miller, they got Scoot Henderson. We said it from the very beginning, right, Tim? Brandon Miller is better than Scoot Henderson.
There's no way around it. Always been there. Never wavered.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think the experience of having DeAndre Ayton on your team has got to be just, like, massively frustrating. They have Jeremy Grant also. But he is just, like, your classic, like, I don't know, Gordon Hayward before, like, 4 years ago, right? Like, he's just, like, he's a small forward that, like, puts up points, but, like, how good is he actually? He's on a big deal. Yeah, I would rather be the Hornets. I think there's way more to look forward to in Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball, Mark Williams, we can throw him in there too, of, like, a young core than the Blazers have.
Yeah, we should say, you know, Scoot has been, you know, statistically improving throughout the year, so it's not like a total hate on Scoot. DeAndre Ayton's one of those dudes that I was always kind of high on. You know, coming out of Arizona, something about it, I liked him. And when we played the Blazers a couple weeks ago, I think he ended up with, you know, like 26 and 14 or something. That dude sucked. Oh my God, dude. Like, what an asshole to play with. Just love shooting mid-range shots, which is kind of cool. The news stories coming out about him, about like, oh man, you know, I got more comfortable. I bought a mattress. I was like, okay, I kind of relate to that as someone who's irresponsible, but yeah, no, dude, they suck. They have the worst net rating in the league last 15 games. I think they're like negative 16. But they're no one else is even in their orbit. Looking pretty brutal. And yeah, they don't have a building block. Unless, you know, Scoot definitely could improve and, you know, become an all-star. It's not impossible, but right now, yeah, it's looking pretty rough. And I like Anfernee Simons.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot to mention him. Yeah, I mean, could he be the building block? Do you put him in the same tier as LaMelo or Brandon Miller?
You know, I have vested interest in Dynasty Fantasy, so I think he's going to be better than those guys.
No, but really?
No. But I think this was a down year for him. He did have, like, a messed up finger from the jump. I think he's, like, a legit, like, you know, a better version of Terry Rozier.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I guess not the, like, star upside, but a solid player.
Yeah, no, he's like a certified like knockdown shooter and can like create off the bounce. But yeah, I mean, he's not like a great distributor, not like great at getting to the rim. But I mean, he's a certified bucket.
We love players like that. And we love players like that, like Jordan Poole on the Washington Wizards. Ooh, certified bucket, right? Yeah. Yeah, completely rather be the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, we brought up the Nets earlier. I would say that it's the Nets or the Wizards that have the most depressing situation in the NBA. And you can only take the Wizards because they actually have their picks for the next few years. But they just have absolutely nothing to build around. Kyle Kuzma, like, what? There's nothing to talk about. They have no pieces. Denny Avdija is all right. They are this year, they are the most depressing team in the NBA.
Yeah, especially because Jordan Poole, I mean, that is kind of just a bummer of a situation, him just, like, not really being a quality NBA player when, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know psychology or anything with the punch, but, like, that championship season, he was amazing. Like, there were times where, like, Steph was always the best player, but, like, Jordan Poole was, like, the most entertaining player for, like, stretches of those games, and he was really effective, and now he's just kind of just turned to dog shit. If Kyle Kuzma could play the Hornets 82 games a year, he might be the MVP, though.
That's a fact. Yeah, and I want to go back to that Jordan Poole thing. There was a time 2 years ago where it was not a ridiculous question, who would you rather have, Jordan Poole or LaMelo? And I mean, LaMelo's stock has gone way down, but that's just a reflection of how much Jordan Poole's stock has gone down, because now it's like, would you rather have Jordan Poole or Nick Smith Jr.?
Ooh, yeah, that is tough, but yeah, that is not far from the truth. Yeah, but I don't know what happened. I know, like, they put him to the bench, and then he started to score a little better. I'm rooting for Jordan Poole, but yeah, no, that would be pretty depressing.
Yep. Okay, so we got four Hornets. The only one that's a no is Atlanta here. And we're doing this to, you know, let's encourage the Hornets fandom. It's a good wake-up call to realize that, you know, there are other teams in worse situations. And I do think that we're being, like, pretty objective here, Tim. I don't think that we're just being Hornets fans. You know, we got Brandon Miller, and LaMelo Ball might stop getting hurt. That's, like, enough to be better than these teams, or, like, have a more positive outlook than some of these teams. So it's just, I don't know, it's a healthy reminder that as depressing as this year has been, it could be worse.
That's a good way to sell it, Mark.
All right, next up, Houston Rockets. I'm gonna have to take the Rockets here, with Alperen Şengün balling out, Jalen Green hitting his stride this year a little bit. Tons of young talent on this team. Yeah, I would rather be Houston. And there's the fact that, like, players actually want to play in Houston. So if they wanted to get a free agent, big-time free agent, they actually have a chance. Charlotte does not. I think it's Houston with a bullet, like, more so than Atlanta.
I would say Houston, yes, but also
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I kind of feel that way a little bit because I'm really high on Jabari Smith Jr. still and really high on Amen Thompson. Not out on Sengun, but I do think he's kind of overrated. You know, like kind of a Sabonis side. But that being said, I mean, Sabonis is having an amazing season. I think he's good. Like, I don't know, their high end is kind of what I'm more out on. I think Miller could end up being the best player on any of those teams. But I mean, if this Jalen Green thing is real, and I do hope it is, another bucket getter. So I'm rooting for him. Like, you know, if he does average 25 a game next year, then I think it's like no conversation. But I do think there's a chance he's back down to like 16.5 points on like 52% true shooting.
Yeah.
Looks a little ugly. But the odds are heavily in their favor, I would say.
So who are you picking?
I'm picking the Rockets, but I just wanted to say I think it's a little closer than people might think. I'm not buying this March run. And I could just be totally wrong, and this could be the start of them just being an awesome team for 3 years. But put my neck out there a little bit.
It feels 21-22 Hornets-y, right?
Yes.
That's what it feels like. Yeah, I agree with you on Jalen Green. He's having an incredible month, but he's also shooting 40% for three, and, like, we'll see if that holds up. But, yeah, I mean, they're so much better than us right now, and they are young and exciting. I think that it's not that big of a question. Like, I mean, I see what you're saying. The Hornets fan in me wants to say, like, oh yeah, we could be better than them in a few years, but I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, my heart's not fully in it. I want that to be the case. They also have Ime Udoka, and we have the ghost of Steve Clifford, who, shout out to him for just once again getting his ass kicked in a game, totally outplayed, outcoached, and then just be like, I mean, man, these young guys, they just want to shoot, dribble. They don't really have any basketball IQ. Oh, whining about practice. Like, I've never heard a coach whine so much. Like, dude, just, I don't know, do something, do anything other than just complain and throw players under the bus time after time after time. Cannot believe he's our head coach.
Yep. Yep. I imagine an alternate universe where we just kept James Borrego a few years ago. But that's not the case, Tim. That's not where we're at. Yeah. Okay. Rockets. We'd rather be the Rockets than the Hornets. What about the Chicago Bulls? We got four more teams left.
So that's kind of a philosophical question. I mean, it depends on what you're going for. Like, I mean, the Bulls are probably going to be, they'll be better than us next year, I would imagine. If they re-sign DeRozan.
You don't believe in an NSJ leap?
Hey, man, look what happened with Coby White. You know, that's kind of an example for him. He can work off that. It did take Coby, you know, 4 years. But, yeah, I mean, anything is possible. I don't know. I have a soft spot for the Bulls for some reason. I have no idea why. But I'd say the Bulls have us for the next 2 years, and I really hope we have them three after that. So I'll lean Hornets.
I'm going Hornets with the bullet. This is, for me, some reason, like, one of the most depressing teams in the league. It's like they're running back the same team over and over and over again. You could say the same thing about Atlanta, but I just think that they have Trae Young, and that's better than anything that the Bulls have. And I mean, DeMar DeRozan's getting old. Coby White is like a bright spot for sure. Zach LaVine gets hurt and is not as good as he used to be. Vucevic is getting old and getting worse. And while they're going to be a play-in team this year, I'm riding with the Hornets, man. I would rather be a Hornets fan for sure and have like some optimism that this team could win 50 games rather than just be stuck in the 30 to 40 range for the next however long. And if they aren't in the 30 to 40 range, that means they're going to be like the Hornets next year, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think that definitely as far as like thinking about the team and like looking forward, I think like it's an easy Hornets. But then there's also the chance that LaMelo's hurt again next year. and we're like 20 wins. I'm not even speaking it into existence. It is just where we exist. But yeah, there's also a chance. Yeah, the Bulls just win like 42 games next year, and like they're right in the play-in race again. And we're like at 27 wins and being like, man, next year is definitely our year. It's a stacked draft. And that just keeps going on and going on.
But it is a stacked draft, though. Cooper Flag.
Hey, you know, he'll look good in the teal. It'll be good. Also, I don't know why. Yeah, we're getting the first pick this year, and I'm kind of excited for it. Speaking into.
What do you think of our boy, Rob Dillingham, in the tournament getting bounced?
Do or die, Rob. Do or die, Dillingham. That was brutal. I just sent a DM the Hornets, like, oh man, yeah, like, you know, definitely Dillingham, and then they just completely no showed. That was brutal. But buy the dip.
What?
Said buy the dip, dude.
I don't know what that means.
When a stock dips, you're supposed to, you know, you buy low.
Yeah. Dip on dip. The problem is that we're not gonna have the 10th pick in the draft.
Oh, you really think he's going that low?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I want him to go to the Hornets, but not an impressive showing in the tournament, getting bounced that quickly. That is classic Kentucky, though. So
yeah, my boy Calipari, my favorite coach. It's been a rough go for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought the Hornets had a contract with the NBA where we were guaranteed the 10th pick every year.
And yeah, turns out that we're not, dude. We got the second pick last year. All right, Detroit, Cade Cunningham, and that's it. Would you rather be the Hornets or Detroit?
I mean, I would have to. I'd have to go Hornets, and part of that is, I mean, Troy Weaver is like the worst GM in the world. It's like our GM retired midseason, and like, yeah, I'm much more comfortable with our situation. You see that video of him like almost fighting the fan?
No, I didn't hear about that.
There was a fan in the crowd, and you know, he's like a row over, and the fan was like, yo, this team sucks. And he was like, I'll kick your ass. Like, you know what? And then got security to kick him out. And that's just soft behavior. The everything they've done with all the Wiseman, Bagley trades, just stocking up on these big men that suck. Brutal. And yeah, Cade versus LaMelo was supposed to be a really cool, like, not LeBron versus Carmelo type thing, but like, you know, it was supposed to be a hype thing, and now it's just like watching two people like crawl to the finish line. Just like, you could make a case that Cade is better, you could make a case that LaMelo is better, but really uninspiring stuff. Going Hornets.
Yeah, so that's the aspect of it that's depressing, is that that's now a real discussion. I don't think it was 2 years ago. It definitely wasn't really last year. But now you gotta kind of entertain the fact that Cade might end up being better than LaMelo. I mean, they also have Jalen Duren. I don't think the gap between Jalen Duren and Mark Williams is so massive that you would rather be the Pistons. Jaden Ivey's not that good. I'd rather be the Hornets with Melo, Miller, and Mark.
They're also locked in with Monty Williams for the next 5 years. So that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, he might get fired. He might just get paid and get fired.
They yeah, I mean, if they're willing to swallow that cash. Kind of tangential. The owner of the Pistons bought out my dad's company like a month ago. Yeah.
That's wild. I think this one is closer than we want to admit it is.
Yeah, 100%. Like, again, this is what, like, the Raptors, like, if you're a Pistons fan, you could be like, fuck no, I don't want to be the Hornets. Like, I don't think that would even be, like, crazy. But yeah, I mean, I'm taking, you know, really the kind of the difference is, like, Ausar Thompson looked really great the first month and a half. And I know Monty kind of messed with their rotation and Pistons fans were pissed off. But, like, yeah, we got Brandon Miller and they got Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and they had the longest losing streak in NBA history. So, okay, I think I'd rather be the Hornets.
They did Memphis. That was rough.
What did you say?
That they did take us in the season series. That's pretty depressing.
Yep. Yep. We don't need to talk about that. Memphis. This one, I would rather be in Memphis. I mean, it's like, if Jaw's hurt, Jaw keeps on getting suspended, then I'd rather be the Hornets. But with the possibility of one of the best players in the NBA, better than Trae Young, coming back to the team, Then I'm gonna have to ride with Memphis with a bullet on this one also.
Yeah. Let me throw this at you though. Would you be surprised at all if Memphis is like 22-8 next year and they're riding high and then it comes out, breaking news, Ja Morant got caught betting $100,000 on his unders and he is suspended for the next 5 years?
Nope, wouldn't shock me. That is a major risk factor with them. But we have a risk factor in LaMelo getting hurt again or spraining his ankle again. And I think I'd ride with Ja Morant over LaMelo.
If Brandon Miller turned out to be Desmond Bane, are you okay with that? You happy?
No.
You want more?
Yeah,
Okay.
for sure. For sure.
I wouldn't be unhappy, but I wouldn't be like pumped about it. But if you told me like, oh yeah, he kind of peeks around like where Desmond Bane's at, I'd be like, okay.
Ah, come on. We can do better. We can do better than Desmond Bane with Brandon Miller.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like realistically, like if Desmond Bane was putting up like 26 a game.
Yeah, and they also have Triple J, Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, I'm taking Memphis. I think that those three players are better than our top three players: Brandon Miller, LaMelo, Mark Williams. Like pretty much across the board. Like you could make a case Desmond Bane is better than LaMelo.
Yeah, you could he's like another guy from that class. Yeah, that's pretty tough. Their GMs have their front office has shown to be far more competent than we have. Taylor Jenkins, better coach than whoever we will most likely get next year. Yeah, no, I would like to hate on Jaw some more, but no, realistically, it's Memphis.
All right, last one, Tim. I think this one might be the most interesting. Utah Jazz.
Okay, so let's think this out. They have Cleveland's picks and pick swaps. They have Minnesota's picks and pick swaps going forward. Their best player is Lauri Markkanen. And then they kind of have like a triumvirate of interesting young players in Kessler, Keyonte George, and even if you want to throw like Hendricks in there as well, who's super
No,
raw.
don't want to throw him in there, but okay.
I think he deserves mention. Not based on what he's doing now, but like in 2 years, I could, like if you told me, oh yeah, Hendricks, he's better than Mark Williams. It's like, I wouldn't be shocked in 2 years.
Yeah, so I mean, I think like talent wise on the team right now, I think I would take the Hornets. And I'm talking about like young talent. I'm not throwing Jordan Clarkson in there. Just from the standpoint of like their best player is Markkanen, and I think he's maxed out at what he can be. And there's potential for growth from both LaMelo and Brandon Miller. I mean, they might never be as good as Lauri Markkanen, but I just think that Lauri Markkanen is not getting any better. He's going to be what he is right now, which is a very good player, but not an incredible player. Whereas you could see a world where Brandon Miller or LaMelo are it's fathomable first second team all NBA, right? So that's why I would take the Hornets' current construction. However, they have like hella picks for the next several years from the Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell trade. So I am gonna pick the Jazz in this one.
Yeah, especially, people like to talk shit about Danny Ainge, but pretty good GM. And Will Hardy is considered, one of the best young coaches in the league. That tips it. What about kind of the Desmond Bane question? If Brandon Miller peaks where Lauri Markkanen is, how do you feel?
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Lauri Markkanen last year, we'll say.
Yeah, I think I would take that as well. Yeah, no, it seems like I like their younger guys a little more. I know you hate Keyonte George, said that he's a bum and won't stick around to his second contract. Big hater on that. No, I would lean them, but yeah, I don't know. For the next like 2 years, just like on court players, I'd rather watch the Hornets, assuming decent health.
Assuming decent health, I'd rather watch the Hornets. That's a good way to put it. I mean, Utah's a way better team this year, but not by that much. And I think my point about like young talent, we have more of it. I know you just said you're higher on Keyonte George and Taylor Hendricks, but would you put them in the same group as Brandon Miller and Mark Williams?
No, but I mean, Kessler has been probably more productive in the NBA than Mark Williams so far.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So you're picking Utah?
Yeah, I'm picking Utah, but you know, that's one of those like with the brain but heart. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think that there is a chance that they really just kill it in the draft, and like, I don't think they'll be like OKC is now, but like, they could have been like, you know, I'd say OKC hit like their 95th percentile outcome. Like, yeah, they could definitely just hit like, you know, the 70th percent, 65th percent, like not be a contender, but just be like a really solid team for, you know, the next 5 years.
Cool. All right, so that's 10 teams, Tim. And we have the Nets, Toronto, Blazers, Wizards, Bulls, Pistons, all below the Hornets. And then we got Memphis, Utah, the Rockets, and Atlanta above the Hornets. We won this exercise with six teams below us and only four teams above us. But that's forgetting about the other 19 teams in the NBA. They're all more exciting than us. But
Yeah.
the future, Tim, it's not as bleak as you think it is. That's kind of the message. We got Micić too. I completely forgot about him this entire podcast.
That I mean, I'm glad that we found our episode title. The future, it's not as bleak as you think it is.
I love it. All right, what do you have for Media Corner?
Why don't you go first? What you got?
Okay, Olivia Rodrigo just released a deluxe album, Guts Spilled, five new songs. So American. She's finally in love, Tim. She's abandoning her strategy of just releasing songs about how much she hates guys, and is going with a love song at the end of it. Love that for her. And also DJ Burns highlights. Just watch him. He is a player on NC State, making an unreal run. I went to NC State for those people who don't know. And yeah, I could watch his mixtape all day. I sent it to you the other day. You watched it. It's impressive.
Yeah, no, you sent it to me, and then actually I caught my first college basketball of the year. I watched the second half of the NC State Oakland game, and I fell in love with that dude. It's
Yeah.
like, man. Yeah, it's
He's
very
Jokic without the shooting.
he's Jokic without the shooting. That's spoken like a true Wolfpack alum.
I'm saying he can't shoot at all. And he can't pass that well. But he's a beast, bro. He's a post scorer. He can pass out of the post. He's massive. Everybody go check him out.
Yeah, man, he's got sick touch. It definitely made me like he actually made me reconsider some of my thoughts on college basketball. I was like, man, maybe college basketball doesn't totally suck ass.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very it, the one reason why college basketball might be more fun than the NBA, like the one argument you can make is that like post play is still a thing. So if you're like super into that, then you can watch college basketball. And he reminds me of Al Jefferson, you know? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's Al Jefferson. I'm just saying that like he reminds me of that time in my life. And it's very fun to watch.
No, yeah, 10 out of 10. I agree. I know what you're saying. Yeah, where you're like, wait, man, how do you get that shot off? And it's like, dude, that he banked that in. Like,
Yeah.
that's he had some layups where he wasn't even using glass. He was just like, not a finger roll, but just kind of like bouncing it in. I was like, man, yeah, just 10 out of 10. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, also I'll say that like some of his shots, like he uses glass in a way that most people just don't, like Duncan-esque, like kind of use of glass. Like he'll take some like hook shot off the glass and you're like, what the hell? I've never seen that before. Or I haven't seen that in years, at least. Like he uses the backboard way more than most players do. It's just kind of fun.
I know I'm purposely misrepresenting what you're saying, but I fucking love that you comped him to Jokic and Tim
Yeah, both of them combined. He's Jokic and Duncan combined. Draft him, Hornets.
Draft him. Yeah, fuck it, man. Take him over to Dillingham.
No. All jokes. Those comps were ridiculous. But what can I say? We're gonna win on Friday.
Yeah,
I'm excited
rooting for you.
about it.
All right, I don't have as exciting, but it is an album called Blue and Sentimental by Ike Quebec, great tenor sax player from the early 60s. It's got Grant Green on guitar, much recommended. Philly Joe Jones and Paul Chambers that backed Miles. They left Miles Davis's group and started working with Ike Quebec. And it is honestly just perfect music for, you know, rainy day. It's kind of bluesy, jazzy, not too paced, a lot of ballads. But yeah, man, throw it on while you're doing some dishes, doing some work, anything, man. It rocks.
Throw that on. Watch some DJ Burns highlights while also listening to Olivia Rodrigo, and then you'll get the Hornets and Heartbreak trifecta.
Do it while you're listening to the pod. Yeah, really, really power through some content.
Yeah, sick. All right, Tim, it's been real.
Been real, Liquor Mark. Be safe out there.
Peace. Go, Peace. Mark. Go. Three, two, one. Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What do I say next?
What? I think you say, how are you doing, Tim? Wait.
What do I say, bro? Hello to the Hornets and Heartbreak. It's Mark Bernacki. I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim? I say, what's up, Tim? Yeah.